So today, if you can watch Dr. Oz, he's backing up what we're doing.
Okay. Brenda's
doing great. Yeah, hi, it's Brenda.
Hey, Brenda.
You were talking about Dr. Oz with
me. Well, this morning he has on about what we eat having to do with whether the switch, it's a Campbell, almost a Campbell quote, the switch that turns cancer off or on.
Mm.
By what we put in our mouths and exercise lifestyle.
I did get your email too.
Oh, good. Yeah, okay, I didn't open it. Did it help?
Yeah.
Rebecca
has left the conference.
It's what they're all saying. It's what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's arrived.
That it's continuing to do badly for what we were doing and take a pill, you have to change what we're doing.
Well, he started off by saying, what if there were a bullet that you could take that would lower dramatically your risk of getting cancer? And he said, there is. It's in your kitchen.
It's in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Hmm. A lot of people have this built-in resistance. I don't want to eat anything good for me. I don't want to change.
Well, they don't think they're going to like it or that it's going to taste good. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, exactly. They think it means giving up flavor. But it's so interesting because your taste does change. And to think about eating the way I was eating before.
Ugh.
Stuff is
very... I had a good opportunity. They're awful. I had a good opportunity to talk to our middle son yesterday, and oh my gosh, it was very interesting what has happened to him for the few months that we've been gone. He just said to me, he says, Mom, we're just not, he started out by saying, asking, he says, you're not eating any eggs. And I said, not really. I mean, you know, we get a little bit in something once in a while, but no, I don't eat eggs, like fix eggs, buy eggs, use them in my cooking. That's, you know, what I meant by saying, no, I'm not using any eggs. And he looked at me and he says, well, we're so close to what you're doing then. He said, we're not putting, you know, any animal in anything that we're doing.
Wow.
And I said, really? And he says, yeah. And I said, so do you miss any of it? He goes, not at all. And his wife came to me and she says, we're going to come over and cook with you because I know Haley and both the kids would really enjoy having more things, variety done with their vegetables. She says, I'm not as good at it as I want to be. She says, I want more taste there. She says, the thought of just steaming or just cooking vegetables like I used to put with a meal, she says, is just, oh my gosh, she says, the kids would be so bored with it. And she says, I'm working on it, but I just need to get better faster. So it's thrilled, you could imagine, to say the least. So, you know, it is all about taste. I mean, that's what when I
has left the conference.
That's what I attributed it to.
Well, the extra other things that we can eat that we have no clue about because we're in a rut and having the regular way of eating is a burger and fries or a ham sandwich or bacon and eggs or, you know, piece of chicken. And steamed vegetables are an afterthought. So coming up with new items, new meal plans, new tofu. I had no clue what to do with tofu in the beginning. So there is a learning curve, but then it's become, sure, give me that tofu. I went to I saw a place in the mall, and it was, what is it, something barbecue. You know, kind of a... Asian food, Mongolian barbecue.
Mongolian barbecue, yeah. We have it here.
Yeah, there were all the vegetables
right.
you pick out. Well, first you had your dried meats or whatever, but right at the edge of them was tofu. So that was pretty cool.
You choose exactly what you want.
They dumped it in a bunch of noodles, and I had to try to get around all the noodles. But it's a matter of learning, I think, and I'm still learning. What else can I eat, you know? Roger Drummer said he eats a lot of beans and rice. Beans. Beans are a very good protein.
Mm-hmm.
But the sad thing is you hear a lot of people say, oh, I hate beans.
Well, it's because they're eating them plain, I think. You know, they're not, I've got them mixed up in the refrigerator, and mine were kind of blah. In fact, I'd actually cooked up a batch, and some of them were in the freezer, and I pulled them out, and they tasted kind of blah, so I put them in a wrapper with some Asian seasoning in them and some extra veggies, you know, fresh veggies, and rolled them up, and they were good. And I thought, you know, I don't have to do them that way. The next time, I can put them, like, into seasoning that would taste like chili. Or a barbecue chili type thing, and make a totally different dish just by adding a little bit of flavoring and seasoning to what's left. So you're not even eating or recognizing that you're eating the same food twice in a week.
Yeah, they can take on all kinds of flavors, just like soybean can take on all kinds of flavors. You know what? I missed it first when I went low meat. I can't say I'm completely no animal, because I might have a tablespoon or two of organic chicken once in a while. And I mean that when I say that, because I don't enjoy eating a lot. But I missed at first the chewing aspect, because I couldn't chew stuff. And then after a while of changing my diet, I realized I didn't want to, that meat was like rubber to me. It was like, I didn't like that chewing aspect of meat, but I was overcooking my vegetables. So I got my chewing out of not overcooking the fiber stuff. That made a big difference. Then it's not mushy. It has a crunch. It has a chew.
That and like the portobellos is something that you do, or maybe you've, you know, frozen your tofu, and it's got a different texture.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's all different ways of adding a texture,
and
it's not exactly the same, but it's close.
And adding, and
keep working on. I want to keep working doing baked tofu. I've done it with recipes I have, but it's too salty for me, or too high seasoned. I'd like to get a good seasoned baked tofu that isn't so strong.
I'll watch when I go through my Parkview, because I know they talked to us and had us and used baked tofu, so we probably have something in there, and they're not big on the salt, so.
I would like that. That would be really good. If it had a lot of nice garlic flavor or something, but not quite so much soy or that salty, strong taste, I would like that. Yeah, but that crunch was the first thing I missed.
Well, I will also give you some crunch, Brenda.
Pardon me?
Raw veggies give you the crunch also.
Yeah, raw veggies give you the, but I was trying to just make a stir-fried vegetable dinner, and I'm missing. And everything tasted the same because I didn't know how to mix. And realizing that, it helps other people, it helps me to understand where other people are coming from when they're used to making themselves a ham sandwich or something that has a lot of salt and a lot of flavor according to what they think in it. To start getting that variety and good taste. And you have to start cooking, but you learn the ways of cooking.
Well, you're cooking.
I was just talking to friend whose father's having an angiogram this morning because he's having heart issues. She said they may do a few stents. And she said she went into the pantry of their house and she goes, Mom has all this whole wheat stuff, but it's whole wheat Ritz crackers and, you know, wheat this and wheat that, that's all processed food. And it was, yeah, you know, people are, they're trying, but they're hearing it on TV, certain things, and without realizing what the difference is in non-processed food. I saw an advertisement on TV just yesterday about whole grain hamburger helper. I thought, oh boy, you know, so.
I think I've got an appropriate reply to that in something. I picked up the newspaper, my first newspaper back home, because on Tuesday they have the food section. And the whole page of the food section was very interesting, and it reads this, not your garden variety burger. And it starts out... frustrated by inferior choices, a vegetarian developed his own. Just a little bit of it. It was kind of fun the way it was worded, I thought. When most people think of hamburgers, they envision hand-formed patties of top-quality beef or lamb mixed with fresh herbs and spices. But when they think of veggie burgers, what comes out to the mind is something out of a cardboard freezer box. When vegetarian Lucas Volger goes to 4th of July backyard barbecues and someone tosses a frozen vegetarian burger on the grill for him, he says what was meant as an accommodating gesture ends up feeling like a sorry consolation prize. Have you eaten any of those? They're terrible, he says. Whatever they're made out of, the texture is just not natural, and they don't taste like anything I'm familiar with. So instead of eating Frankenfood burgers made of textured vegetable proteins, the former Willamette University student, which is from this area, started experimenting with his own from-scratch veggie burgers, combining whole grains, beans, breadcrumbs, and goodies from the garden. Volger, who lived in Brooklyn, New York, now that we're back home, shares more than 30 of his creations in his new book, Veggie Burgers Every Which Way, that's coming out next week. I just thought the way he said it was just exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then you think, ugh, I'm not eating that stuff.
And one of his is, he's got four ways to improve veggie burgers. He's got an American lentil burger. He's got a baked falafel burger. He's got a mushroom burger with barley. Those are the main recipes that he gives here that are evidently from his book. And all of them sound really, really good. And none of them sound, you know, traditional or without flavor. And, of course, what he's got on the cover, it's about, 12 inches wide and about 8 inches high, the colored picture of a blow-up of this, a close-up of this burger, and then another different one down below. One stacked with mushrooms and fresh herbs, and it looks like oregano. And the other one has, you'd think it was cheese, a big slab of cheese. I don't know what it is. Anyway, sliced onion and tomato on top of it, and the burger, each of them look about a half inch thick.
Are you going to send those recipes down, Char?
I can. I can probably go in on Food Day and find them already printed up.
That would be great for the 4th.
Okay, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What website would you get on?
It would be, I think it's foodday.com. Food Day, D-A-Y. Just all one word. They don't have, let's see.
Do you think there's two D's? Food
oh, no.
Day or?
Food Day. No, there's two D's. It's here. Food Day, FoodDay.com. That's the newspaper section that it comes out of. So it should be in there. This is yesterday's newspaper, so you guys might beat me because I still don't have my big computer up.
I'll go get that book. That sounds good.
What's the name?
It did.
What's the name of the book again?
Just a minute. Veggie Burgers Every Way, Every Which Way. Veggie Burgers Every Which Way, $16.95. 192 pages. They must have a fair amount in there.
I made the ones that Jeannie sent down, the pecan, mushroom, what's the grain in there, bulgur?
Pecan, mushroom. I think so, yes. Yes, it is.
I don't always have that grain. My grain got weevils in it, and I tossed it, so I haven't replaced it. But I loved those burgers. I made them up and froze them in single servings, and whenever I didn't know what to fix, I would just pull out a couple of them for Jay and I and whip that up with some veggies and have a traditional meal. It was really good.
And it's not good for a meatloaf.
A tip on that.
For meatloaf, and I haven't tried that, and I would say, what the heck is that?
Has arrived.
And a tip on that, Brenda, is if you're making your milk, throw in some of the Okara. They're much easier to work with. They're not fragile. And that's what he talks about in there. He says that he starts out his burgers and he sears them in the pan, but because of them, and he talks about what you need to keep them, to make them sticky and hold them together. There's two or three things he always uses. But the Okara will definitely make them sticky. He doesn't mention that. He might in the book, but he doesn't mention that here.
What's his name again, Char?
What's his name? Bolger, V-O-L-G-E-R.
Ironic. What is that?
Has left the conference.
And the, his first name, what was his first name? I thought it was at the beginning here. They've got the other guy. They've got a vegan writer for this newspaper now.
They've wow.
In as Grant Butler is the one that put the article together, and it says his title is Going Vegan. That's what they're giving him.
Vegan.
I came home and I'm going, whoa, this is fun. You notice it when you've been gone, see. I mean, they just keep using his last name, and I know I saw his first name here.
At the beginning, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was looking through, but I guess I was going too fast.
I think it says Lucas Bolger.
Yeah, I think that, yes, you're right. It was Lucas. I run through him, and then I don't remember. Bolger. Oh, I see again. Anyway, it was Lucas.
Do they show you the front of the book?
No, they do not. It's just, well, what they've got at the top. Oh, then they've got a little tiny article inside. They've got a thing across it so other people will read. Barbecue's the most flavorful recipes made foolproof. They've got another book that's registered here, Latin Grill, Tex-Mex Grill. And those are, you can tell, because it's a great big steak, Planet Barbecue, are the ones that are out. It's a little border across above his article. And then when you get inside, they've got a half page. It says, grind it out of the most flavorful burgers at home. And they've got three recipes that are given in much smaller amount of space. Pork, lamb, and probably beef. No, this is seafood. But I just thought it was interesting that they gave him two whole pages, almost two full pages, front cover and then the inside. And that's, you know, those are the things I love to see. And then they've got towards the back, they've got a bunch of other stuff to go with it that are veggies and grains and things like that. So I kind of am beating myself up because while I was gone, I could have gone in on the internet and looked. Oh, and the back page is all on arugula.
Ooh.
Well, advertisement, arugula adds peppery personality to dishes. So you guys, if you wanted to go in on that on a regular basis, you'd probably find way more than I can keep up with in even trying. That. What I like about it is it's the current things that are available, fresh produce, is what they're always pegging that's coming out. So, foodday.com.
That'll be exciting to go in on that.
And I don't know what they do for search engine, because I know it would have changed in the 8 months we've been gone, and I haven't done it once. So, lots to keep up with when you start looking at what's happening in the industry we're excited about.
And
not to dramatically change the subject, did anybody see Dr. Oz yesterday?
I did.
The four-year-old?
Yes.
Who weighed 82 pounds, a girl?
Yeah.
What was so dramatic to me is he showed them the doctor's chart that they use to chart your height and weight. He said at the rate she's going, pounds.
Oh. Wow.
The parents were huge, too.
Oh, yes.
You know, in listening to Roger Drummer Monday night, he said that America is has the least nourishment of any country,
mm-hmm.
the least nourished country of any country. We're the biggest people, the biggest eaters, and the least nourished.
And probably the most processed foods in this country.
Yeah. We're eating so much that has no nourishment in it. And we keep eating more of it because there is no nourishment in it.
Our bodies so are not getting satisfied.
We're not getting satisfied, and we're eating more and more.
We're not getting satisfied.
Yeah. And when you think about that, it starts going, goodness, what am I eating? And what does it do? And he said, I don't know if it was this last one or the one before, that I think it was this last one because it was on Alzheimer's. He said that every time you eat something that's full of antioxidants, it goes to work in your body to correct things, almost like a medicine, it goes to work in your body taking care of you every single time. It's not so the more you eat of these high nutrient foods, the better you are.
You know that picture I sent down? I only sent it because I thought maybe it looked like an insult or a bad joke or something. Of the big chair. Nancy, you should have gotten it. Brenda,
yeah, I did.
Yes, I did.
Okay, Vance took that, and he used that as an illustration. He goes, Mom, you don't know how many people I've sent that to. Because about 2 weeks ago, and I didn't even think about, a different how it could be used, as other than it was hurting me to see it, but at the same time it just seemed a joke. And what it was for anybody else that didn't get it as I walked into the farmer's co-op where I got a bunch of my plants, there were these two great big huge really oversized camp chairs. And I said, Denny, crawl up in there. Let me take a picture of you. Well, he was smiling and laughing, which was not my feeling inside, because it said something that big, oversized camp chairs so you can really relax or something like that. And because I had to sit and wait, he had to go get the truck to get things. I sat in one, and I just emailed out to the three of you, and he took that, and it had armrests that had holes for a six-pack, individual holes that you could fill, and I don't think I put that in there, you could fill the holes up with a six-pack, and you'd never have to get out of the chair, and
yeah.
So anyway, he took that, and what he had encountered a couple of weeks before was they realized the volunteer fire department that he works for, they pick up a lot of calls for a neighboring community. The calls that those people that are on the fire department in that little community can't answer because they can't maneuver the trails. They don't have the physical condition to be able to handle some of the climbs that are in their area. Because they're all, most all, very, very overweight, if not obese. And I don't know how, you know, stringent, and obviously the different guidelines, different communities have their own guidelines, and it's not a federal thing when it's volunteer, evidently. I don't know. Because, you know, I compared that to the book that Engine 2 Diet, that Caldwell Esselstyn's son, Rip Esselstyn, came out with, that I gave Vance a couple of years, or at least a year ago for his birthday. It was a year ago because it was at the Veggie Fest. We heard even they had picked it up. And so I emailed him something with an addition that said, you know, this would be, he picked up on it. I'm sorry. He just picked up on it, and he sent it to the rest of some of the guys in the fire department that he goes back and forth with. And he said, this is an illustration of their fire department and why we're covering their load for them a good portion of the time and getting the calls, you know, in the middle of the night, all the interruptions that they get being just volunteer. And I said, you know, this is an opportunity for you to go a step further, and I'm sure there's a few you could work on and do it as setting an example, and, you know, maybe they would catch on just by hearing or seeing what you guys are doing. And he says, I'm almost there, Mom. He says, that was my next project that I want to work on. He says, I'm almost there with some of the guys. I've got to have the support team from the people that I'm working with here strong enough that we can pull it off. And, you know, we can do so much in the community by reaching out to other people. And, you know, a lot of times it's just one by one, but... You know, I never thought of the fire department being affected that way. I mean, I just didn't, because I think of those people as really needing to be, you know, the majority of them in really good shape. But he says, no, we're picking up so many of their calls, it's making our workload just incredibly over what it should be.
That's amazing if they do that.
Yeah.
If they have to do that, you do think the firemen is being in very good shape. Can you imagine 9/11 if those firemen were not in good shape?
Yeah, well, you know, and like I say, the cities have to have a different outline. The people that are volunteering in a community, they're scrounging to get people.
Right, that's probably the difference.
You know, so I'm going, oh, and then that, which means that other people's lives are at stake.
And as well as their own.
As well as their own, you're right.
They have to go into a burning building, and they won't be able to breathe as easily.
Uh-uh.
Or whatever. They have to carry somebody who weighs a lot of, you know.
But he used that as an illustration. They can't handle the weight of another body because they can't handle their own weight.
Exactly.
Well, I saw an article on TV here the other day about oversized caskets they were showing people.
Oh, yeah.
And how big a casket they were, or maybe it was a manufacturer anyway, that were making huge caskets because they said, usually just a few specialized funeral homes carried those, but now almost all of them carry at least one or two oversized caskets.
This was mentioned back in New York when Denny was having coffee with the guys. The one says, I've already got my, he made his own casket,
mm-hmm.
And that's what he does. And he says something about the size that he had, that he was building them now for other people.
Remember when Jamie Oliver was on several months ago, he was the one who took somebody from the town in West Virginia that he was trying to get to eat healthier, and he took them to a funeral home to show them the huge caskets that are now needed. That was a huge eye-opener for this person. I think that was the radio guy who said, I am now behind you.
That would really be a good visualization, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, there was something on the news yesterday here. Ohio, I think, dropped from 10th fattest state to 13th. But then they said it's not that we're doing better. Other people are catching up. Other states are catching up.
This is Ohio?
Uh-huh. Isn't that nice?
Wow. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Chair, Char. Chair, yeah. I guess I could send that out to everybody and they could utilize it.
That sounds good.
How did you get in?
They would get it anyway.
Char?
Pardon?
How did you get up into that chair?
Well, I could crawl up into it, but my feet couldn't touch the floor, neither could Denny. But as I described, a person that was big, they would be pushed forward in the chair and their feet would hit the floor.
Oh, yeah.
See, because they're setting forward. And, you know, I got some strange looks. I never said a word to anybody, but the ones that talked to me, I started, you know, I carried on a little conversation with. But they, you know, it was like most of them didn't make the connection, you're right. It was just that. It was funny. Oh, well, the one guy said, well, it's not as comfortable as the smaller ones. And, you know, and I just said something, yeah, they're built for the big people to be comfortable in because they'll fit differently than you will. And he could almost touch the floor. He was pretty tall. And so, you know, that did make a difference. So, anyway.
So I want to check some facts that I have. So the guy who worked for Costco and drank the green smoothies, he lost, the facts I'm not sure of, what was it, 200 pounds?
I thought it was 100.
That's what I remember.
100 pounds.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And he didn't have saggy skin?
Right. And the woman had significantly more, and it had been some time before that she had lost it, and she was going to go have surgery, and he suggested that she try it. It had been, I think, 6 months before that she had finished losing her weight, something like that, a significant time, and she had all this saggy skin, and she was going to have surgery to have it removed, and he said to her, he says, why don't you try what I've done and see if it'll work after the fact. And it did. Yeah, it did work. Did work after she had lost all the weight, so it didn't have to be done, you know, while she was losing the weight.
And rebound.
Yeah.
It gets its elasticity back and shrinks up. That's very interesting. Is there somewhere where you read that or saw that?
It was on Lynn's, when we did the interview with Lynn Dillman, she had told about it, or I think it was on that interview.
Didn't Lynn hear him talk?
Lynn's the one that heard him talk, yes. We could get her back on. I know she would describe it again. She had quite Pardon?
So I would like to know a little more definite before I tell them.
Yeah, well, it came out, you know, the real part of it is all that stuff that's in the Green for Life book. You've got that, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because that's where it all came out of, was the Green for Life.
There it is.
And she said, she's the one that just sent me the wheatgrass. She's also got a newsletter. It doesn't go out very often. I don't see it very often anyway. But, she wrote that book. It's Victoria Botenko, B-O-U-N-T-E. Anyway, she's got several books out, and it's more on eating raw foods and putting more raw in your diet. But she actually had a medical doctor that did the research as these people were going through it. She had a group that they did the smoothies for, and they transported them, I think it was like every other day or every third day to a group of people because they were in a very rural area, and they were monitored by an MD. So, I mean, it's much more substantial as far as being factual if you want that kind of information. I haven't read the book cover to cover. I just read sections of it, so, you know,
Do you have the name of the book?
Green for Life is the name of it.
The Green for Life, yeah. I thought you were talking about another book now.
Well, she's come out with another one that Steve told us about, and I don't have my hands on it right now. But it was good because that's where she put in about making sure that you do not, that you rotate your veggies. Because otherwise you're going to get yourself into trouble. So, you know, just little things to keep track of when you're doing it that, you know, can make the difference.
Well, there was one more little fact I wanted to share that hit me on exercise in listening to Roger Drummer talk. One thing he said that I thought, oh, that's a different way to look at it, when he was talking about sugar on diabetes and how sugar causes inflammation, high sugar too much causes inflammation in our body. So if we eat too much white or too much sugar, too much fruit in a day, we'll raise our sugar, and the high sugar causes your high cholesterol. It causes a lot of problems in your body because of inflammation. But then he said, and exercise helps, because when your body gets too much sugar going on in it, and you have sugar burns like energy. So you go out and exercise, and that burns up whatever excess sugar you have in your system. And I thought, well, isn't that a different way to look at exercise? Because we always look at, oh, you got to exercise because you have to stay fit, because you have to keep your muscles going, because. But instead of realizing, moving will burn off that excess sugar, which will, in turn, reduce inflammation in our body. So I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I thought that was a really cool way to look at it. And it has, since I heard that, made me want to move more, even more than.
So he's talking about getting your heart rate up, your actual.
No, he's just talking about moving. He didn't even talk about how much you move or whatever. Yes, getting your heart rate up, but do some exercise, go out for a walk, do something. Because the movement that you use burns off the sugar, because the sugar in your body is energy, and you want to burn it off. So you can eat low sugar. You can do your, you know, not overconsume so much fruit in a day, or not overconsume sugar. Eat more vegetables. You can do all that, but then if you have still, where most of us do, excess sugar in our system, movement burns it up, because the sugar is energy that's rapidly burned. So if we think in terms of, okay, I'm going to burn off this excess sugar, yes, we're getting the benefits of our muscles or our heart or everything else, but we're burning off that sugar that's going through our body, which is causing the high fat, cholesterol, heart disease, inflammation, and issues in our body. Get that under control, and then you can start burning fat when that's taken care of.
Well, that makes sense.
But that's not an excuse if you're going to exercise a lot to eat more sugar.
Right. Oh, no, no.
Well, it's not,
but make it an excuse to me. What it to me was start saying, watch that sugar, because he said if you're eating sugar and you have excess sugar in your system, you will not lose weight. You can restrict your calories all day long as much as you want, but if you have excess sugar in your body will not lose weight.
People who are overweight will say, well, I'm exercising a lot so I can eat this sweet, whatever it is.
Well, it isn't so.
Or people who have high blood pressure say, I'm on medication, I can eat this salt. You know, that's the mentality.
But see, since I heard this, and I have high blood pressure, well, I have had it, but I see what it's from, and I want to get off of the medicine now because I think it's causing me more problems than good. I limited my meat. All right, I limited my salt. Yes, I've been exercising. Yes, I drink a lot of water. My blood pressure's still up. What's going on?
This is why
I have not limited my sugar.
Yeah, this
you know?
Is why when you check into those, both the programs that we've been through that we check into, the doctors say, the internists say, I can have most of the people off of blood pressure medication within 24 hours. That was McDougall's statement. And the other one indicated the same thing. because they are so restrictive. And the other thing, like, now Danny really started watching his amount of bread. Like, he has one slice of bread. Grains turn to sugar also. Now, the bread is processed. The whole grain cereal in the morning is not processed. There's a difference there. And so they gave us bread, like, the first day, and then we didn't have bread except maybe twice the whole week. And so, again, it's, you know, how you look at it. It's just what you were saying, packaged. You know, it's from the store. I mean, most of it. Most of it, when they did bread, they did it from the whole grain, which was way better. It was more like cooking cereal because it didn't have the other stuff added into it, say.
It was less of it.
Pardon?
It tastes so much better.
Oh, it tastes so much better, yeah. But, so it's, you know, it's the whole thing, and that's why so many people drop so much on their glucose in that 10-day period in their blood because they just didn't have the availability of the food that they were used to eating, and they never even realized it.
Mm-hmm.
That was so subtle.
But until we get that little trigger in our thinking that says, aha, you know, we'll go right back to eating it because a little bit's not going to hurt me. Oh, I want to try that today. And that's a really good learning issue too, because when you try it and you feel awful because you've been off of it, then you realize, you know, that is not worth it because that makes me feel awful and it doesn't taste good anymore.
Or as good.
Or as good, or it might taste great, but then I get an instant headache now from certain things.
You get the feeling afterwards, yes, the after effects.
It's an instant thing. So, but anyway, I wanted to point that out. We're really long. Are there any other thoughts or questions? Really enjoyed what you've shared with us today, Shar.
Right.
And Nancy, that's great.
You started it. You hit the spot, so.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda, for your time.
Okay. Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thanks, Brenda. Good call.
Good call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.